And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, finally, a week or so after the final votes were cast, there is a result in the Republican nomination contest, the nomination for the Senate of Pennsylvania. And it looks like Oz won.
Yeah. There's a couple things about that. The margin was less than 1,000 votes, given how many were cast. That's a very, very tight race. But we also have the fact...
Yeah, there were 1,200,000 cast, right?
Yeah. That how accurate the vote counting was. It was exceedingly accurate. You know, we have all this propaganda coming out from the Republicans that it's that the elections are rigged, that there's all these problems, that you can't have mail-in ballots, blah, 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 blah. And there was virtually no change. I think out of all of that, there were about 15 votes difference, at least the last time I saw the count, from what was. I know up in your area, I don't think there was... No more than maybe one. There may be
no, not even one. There was not a single vote change.
Yeah, Lackawanna County, there was only one or two vote difference in the count.
Right,
but of course, those things don't really matter to Republicans. They still say that the election system needs to be challenged and needs to be go through all this sort of reform that they're having They just won't give up on it. Of course, we knew that was hypocrisy when it was done because of all the down ballot wins that the Republicans secured back in 2020, and none of them thought that those should be challenged.
Yeah.
So we have this setup now where McCormick has conceded to Oz, and that sets up the fall. This is going to be a very, very expensive election for Pennsylvania. It's going to be a hard-fought one because the Republicans are desperate to hold on to the seat that Pat Toomey's giving up on, and the Democrats feel they need that in order to not only keep control of the Senate but get better control of the Senate. They would like to get to about at least 53 so they don't have to worry about Manchin and Sinema. So we'll see what happens. And meanwhile, we have the situation that occurred with John Fetterman.
Well, before you go there, I just wanted to backtrack something about the fraud that didn't exist, that doesn't exist, that never existed, which the recount, you know, demonstrated. The Republicans complain about mail-in ballots. That's the center of the fraud, right? So,
yeah.
in my county, actually McCormick carried the county. He had about 200 more votes than Oz out of nearly 6,000 votes. But in terms of people who voted on election day and people who mailed in ballots, Republicans, we're talking now Republicans. In this deeply Republican place, county.
Right.
McCormick's vote, 21% of his votes came by mail. Oz's votes, 20% came by mail. Barnett's vote, 19% came by mail. So what are these Republicans yelling about? Here's a bedrock Republican area. 20% basically is voting by mail.
Yeah.
What's the complaint? What are you complaining about? It's not as if the Democrats are getting 80% of their vote by mail. They're getting 20%, 25%, 19%. That seems to be the way it works, no matter where you go. And that's accurate. And basically that helps people who are older or people who are traveling or people who in times of illness don't want to expose themselves to the potential of getting COVID or whatever might be the virus. What are they yelling about? Did they repudiate those votes? Is Oz going to repudiate the 24%, the 20% of the votes he got in Susquehanna County?
So. No, but it's right now. One of the organizing principles of the Republican Party is the big lie that Donald Trump was deprived of an election victory because of, in large part, write-in votes.
Right.
And that is the litmus test for anybody who is running in a Republican primary, whether or not you're willing to acknowledge the fact that Trump lost, or if you say that, if you don't say that, if you
right. But the point here is that in Pennsylvania, if not for the write-in votes, Oz doesn't win. Yeah. You take a look at his write-in votes, and I bet you there's your margin of victory. Now what?
Well, it's just it's the hypocrisy and. It's pandering to this more and more radical base that's emerging from the Republic. I mean, we're seeing this all over the country. There are people who are warning about it, and doesn't seem to be an awful lot of things that people are doing to at least try to stop it. Whether it'll be successful on its own is one thing, but what kind of organizing you can do to stop it is something else. I mean, we were talking about what's happened down in Florida, down in Miami-Dade. Talk about radicals. The Republican committee down there has been infused with a number of fellows who come from the Proud Boys.
That became their tactic, right? They decided, their strategy really, wherever they could, they would try to become committee members in local Republican organizations. And in Dade County, I don't know that they've taken over the Republican leadership, but they certainly have a lot of people in the committee.
Yeah, and it seems like people are afraid of them.
Well, any normal person would be. They show up with guns and they openly tell you they're thugs.
But even if they're not at the meeting, I heard the quote from Jeb Bush, who was the governor of Florida, who had put a lot of the organization down in Miami-Dade together. And when they asked him his comment about these folks, he punted. He said, I'm not into politics right now, so I'm not going to say anything, instead of condemning it. I mean, I remember when his father came out and went down to Louisiana and said, don't vote for the racist, even though he's a Republican. We've seen a lot of shrinkage from courage in those areas.
Well, look, the Republican, the face of the Republican Party, Proud Boys in Florida, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Herschel Walker, two of the stupidest people who have ever been in politics in Georgia. I don't care where you go, what you're finding is thugs, ignorance, and racism. And that's the face of the Republican Party.
Yeah, that's and that was the big change that Donald Trump brought to the party. There was always this element. If you talk to Stuart Stevens, who used to be Republican operative and ran campaigns, and I've quoted him before. He said that we thought this used to be a recessive gene in the party, but it's now. It's the dominant gene, and there was always this undertone that the Republicans played, the race card, whatever. But they Lee Atwater the same way, but they never said it out loud, and now of course they say it out loud.
Well, that's their organizing principle. I mean, yeah. Marjorie Taylor Greene made a live stream on her Facebook page last week. And which was completely devoted to defending Christian nationalism. She says, of course, America has to be a Christian nation. That's what it has to be. Really? Tell it to Jefferson.
Madison. She's thinking George Jefferson.
Yeah, she's... Well, there's no evidence that George Jefferson was a Christian, just that he was on the show with...
But, and she probably wouldn't speak to George.
Oh, she definitely wouldn't, no.
But, this kind of thing is just, it's really gotten to the extremes, and it just keeps going that way. It keeps going that way. We have that situation in New York State around Buffalo, the suburbs, where they have a freshman congressman.
Yeah, Chris Jacobs.
Yeah, who came out about after the Buffalo attack saying that we should do something about guns.
Not even guns. He said assault weapons.
Assault weapons.
He was as moderate as you could imagine in a situation where how many people were gunned down by a guy who lived 5 miles north of the Pennsylvania line, came down into Susquehanna County to buy his ammo, and then drove up to Buffalo to mow down black people. So he said we shouldn't have assault weapons. Huh. That's his big radicalism.
Yeah, and he got so much blowback that he says, I'm not going to run.
Right.
Well, there's no... You know, instead of making that, at least trying, he just bailed out. And then, of course, then we got Elise Stefanik, who wants to be the next Speaker of the House or maybe the next vice presidential candidate, coming out and endorsing someone for that position, Carl Paladino.
Paladino, right, yeah.
Who's another nutcase.
Well, he's right up there with Doug Mastriano, Paladino.
Yeah.
He just has more money.
Yeah. But, he ran unsuccessfully for, was a governor before?
He ran for governor, yeah.
And, some just oddball stuff that comes out of his mouth, but now he wants to go to Congress and take it. I guess he'll be the, since Louis Gohmert is not running for his old seat, he ran for attorney general in Texas and lost. Paladino wants to take his place in making statements. I mean, Louis Gohmert's statement this week was...
I don't think you can pass by that statement. We have to mention that statement.
Yeah. He said, if... what's this country coming to where Republicans can't lie to the FBI or Congress and get away with it?
That's right. That's exactly what he said. It's not an implication at all. Those are the words.
Literally, we're going to get in trouble if we lie to the FBI.
And that shows that we're being oppressed.
Yes.
Republicans are being oppressed because if you lie to the Congress and the FBI, they're going to come and get you. And who was he defending? He was defending that Peter Navarro. What a defense. Navarro could use, his defense is, of course he lied. Navarro is indicted for lying. Gohmert is defending him, some attorney general, some attorney. I have a right to lie. To oppose my right to lie is to oppress me.
That's it. you can lie in certain circumstances without breaking the law, but you can't lie to the FBI without breaking the law. There's, of course, we had that criminal case this week, that was Bill Barr had assigned in order to placate Trump a special type of prosecutor to investigate the fallout from the Steele dossier. And they indicted a lawyer that was associated with the Clinton campaign by the name of Sussman. And that trial was held last week, and he was acquitted. He was acquitted. A lot of people thought that shouldn't even have been brought. And
what he was charged with lying, it had really nothing to do with the event. He was asked by the FBI, if you, in this interview that you're having with us, are you representing anybody? And he said, no, I'm representing myself in this interview. and then he said whatever he said. And what he said had nothing to do, it wouldn't have mattered one way or the other if he had represented you or me or Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump or himself. It was irrelevant who he represented. But that was the statement, not the content of what he said, but that was the statement that this guy Durham chose to try to prosecute him on, which leads me to think at that time he was in the law firm with Mark Elias. Same law firm. Yes. Mark Elias, as you've pointed out, is a real thorn in the side of the Republicans because he leads the defense of the right to vote on behalf of the Democrats throughout the country. I have a feeling that it was through Sussman that the Republicans and Trump in particular was hoping to get to Mark Elias.
I think you're right. I think that that had a lot to do with it. They were hoping to get to Sussman and have him flip or something. And do it. And it didn't work out. And there was a question, in fact, whether he did lie.
Apparently the jury didn't think he lied.
No, the jury didn't think he lied. There were some very technical things. And as you said, it didn't matter because the FBI didn't rely on anything that he said because they had already made a judgment on that, which is also another element. But in general, you still can't lie to the FBI.
A
material thing.
Right, but here is this guy Gohmert is complaining the Republicans are going to be gotten, they're going to go after the Republicans, but the only one they actually did go after was a Democrat.
Yeah. Now, of course, you mentioned Peter Navarro. He got himself indicted this week for contempt of Congress.
I'd say he should have been indicted for contempt of America.
Yeah, and he's a very peculiar guy. He's got some really weird ideas.
And well, you know how he came to prominence? He came to prominence because Trump asked Jared, find me somebody who can be an expert on China trade. And he had published a book on China trade, and Jared came across it on Amazon. He was reading at the Amazon reviews, and he came across this book reading an Amazon review, and they hired him. And that's what did it.
Yeah, he was supposed to be a trade type of rep.
Yeah, and he was the trade rep, exactly. Yeah.
And he wound up roaming the West Wing doing all sorts of political things.
That's right. His notions, he has the crackpot idea that tariffs are paid for by the companies abroad. He doesn't follow the dollar. Tariffs on trade are always paid for by the consumer in the country that buys the product. You put tariffs on some product that we import from France, I and you pay the tariff. Not the French company that pays the tariff.
Right.
That was lost on Navarro.
Yeah. I mean, the way tariffs work is because they increase the price, they decrease the demand for the product. And
but in any case, they increase the price for the people who buy it.
Yeah. You know, the other thing about Navarro is he said he wasn't going to talk to Congress, but he went out and wrote a book about the very things they wanted to talk to him about and went on TV shows and talked about this stuff.
And said it was secret.
Yeah.
Well, if nobody buys the book, it will be secret.
Well, we'll see. Bill Barr's book was a bomb.
Getting back to McCormick and Oz in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Do you think that Oz is the strongest candidate? I mean, here we have a ticket, Mastriano-Oz, right? Or Oz-Mastriano. That's the Republican ticket. Is that stronger than Mastriano-McCormick?
No. No. It's more radical. What we're going to find out is how deep this base is. I mean, it's stronger for the base of these Trumpists, but the question is, can it bring in anything from what Pennsylvania traditionally has, the more moderates?
I don't think it's strong for the Trumpists. I asked a Republican operative here in the county, in Susquehanna County, what he thought about this, and how is it that McCormick outpolled Oz in the county? And he, without batting an eye, without waiting a second, said to me, people look at Oz, they see Oprah. In other words, the racism is going to keep people from voting for Oz.
Well, it's going to be interesting.
And he doesn't have to lose more than 10% of the vote. Yeah, he doesn't have to be, you know, a Republican vote, I mean.
Yeah. Oz did well up in the northeastern part of the state, in general.
In general, but not in my county. In my county, as I say, he lost the county by 10%. That's a big loss.
But he did get Trump's endorsement.
He died, but it didn't help. Not here.
Well, we're going to see, you know, Republicans tend to fall in line, so we'll see how, when they go to the ballot box, we'll see what happens. Although Fetterman is kind of the anti-Oz in appearance and what have you.
Well, all right, but Fetterman is bound to Oz because Oz is a heart surgeon, doesn't practice, but that's what he is, and Fetterman is a heart patient. Do you think his illness and the fact that he didn't take care of himself for 5 years is... does it have political significance?
That's what we're going to find out. I think it could have some. I don't think it could have.
I mean, he's not yet campaigning. He's still in bed. As you and I are speaking, he's still, you know, he's at home.
Still at home. He doesn't really have to, I mean, at this point. But you want to see him out on the trail probably by July 4th.
What made his campaign successful in the Democratic primary was that he got out there from the get-go. By the time the rest of the Democrats figured out what was going on, he'd raised $7 million.
Yeah. And that's going to be something that we're going to have to watch. But the national parties are going to put a lot in the campaign. I don't think Oz would raise as much money as McCormick would. McCormick had
Goldman Sachs.
He had all the Goldman Sachs people.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see if McCormick puts any money into Oz's campaign or whether McCormick's thinking, I came close this time. Maybe I'll go after Bobby Casey in 2024. It's a little premature to talk about that, but we'll see what happens. But, I would not put it by Oz to start some underground campaign about Fetterman's health and trying to make that an issue underground.
How about not underground? Why does it have to be underground? It's a real issue. To me, it's a real issue.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Put nothing past these guys. The Democrats have to, have to come out and put people on the defensive from the get-go. You know, this week they had a vote on guns. In the House, and every single Republican voted against the reform. Now, the reform probably went beyond what the Senate is contemplating, but not a single Republican in the House, voted for reform on guns, even though the American public is demanding it by an overwhelming margin.
Yeah, but the electoral system guarantees that what the American public wants is not going to happen. Because the American public is structurally out-organized by a system of districts which guarantee that the most extreme right-wingers will come to the majority in the majority of the House districts. There are very few House districts that are in play. And the Republican districts are safe for the craziest, wackiest, most regressive Republicans. Therefore, if you want to keep your job, become a crazy, wacky Republican. If, you know, you're running in that kind of a district. Right?
Yeah. And I've said before, you know, you have two types of Republicans. You have the ones who are playing at being crazy, wacky, but know better. And then you have this generation that's growing up that doesn't know better, that they think that that's the way it is. And that's what's scary, because some of them are going to come to office.
A lot of them are going to come to office, and that's the ones that are coming up. If the same ones are guys like Jeb Bush, hardly a paragon, but if that's sane, or Liz Cheney, if that's, you know, mainstream that you're looking to, I can remember where Liz Cheney was a pariah. where her father was worse than a pariah. He was widely considered a war criminal. If that's moderate in the Republican Party, well, my God, look what you've got left.
Well, you mean right?
Yeah, right, exactly. Precisely. Sure. Precisely. Sure. Really, the Republican Party are the Proud Boys, Herschel Walker, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Doug Mastriano. That's the Republican Party. Vote Republican. That's who you're putting in power. And young people like Madison Cawthorn, who aped them. That's what you're talking about. Thuggery, ignorance, and the untrammeled right of racists and corporate ideologues.
Yeah, and as we talked about the corporatists, we have these authoritarian personalities who are drawn to this, and they really don't understand how dangerous it is when you give political power to authoritarians. They think that they can benefit from it without any downside, we saw what happened in the 1930s in Germany. How well that worked. Worked out well.
Well, it didn't work out badly for the ones who controlled the corporations.
In the short term.
In the short term, but I don't see anybody who ran Krupp that suffered. Tyson, they didn't. IG Farben, they didn't suffer. The other people suffered. You and I suffered. The people who we were related to, they suffered. The average working class guy suffered. The average German who voted for them suffered. His cities got destroyed. His life was ruined. But not Tyson Krupp.
No. And
even after the war, they didn't suffer. Nobody put them in jail.
Yeah. By the way, I just found out, I've talked about Ruth Ben-Ghiat in her book Strongmen repeatedly. Found out that she has a newsletter I'm going to try to subscribe to. She just explains all of this. She understands it. She gets it in terms of authoritarianism and how it works. And of course, the Republicans are looking to people like Viktor Orban and Bolsonaro down in Brazil to figure out how we could all do this with a patina of democracy around it. We'll have elections, but we'll make sure that only we can get elected.
And that's the method. That's the method, yeah. You wrap yourself in the flag, you claim to be defending law and order, and you make sure that there's no law and it's just disorder.
Yeah.
There is law. You do pass laws. You make sure that what you do is legal. It's legal to kill your opponents. It's legal to run concentration camps. It's legal to commit genocide. Yeah. And it's disorderly to object to that.
Right. Remember Ginny Thomas was talking about Gitmo. Taking Joe Biden out to Gitmo, off of Gitmo, you know.
Well, Navarro said that, right? Navarro's the other day, he had a press conference, and he said, that if the Republicans come to power, they'll arrest Biden, they'll arrest Pelosi, and he had a whole string of people he wanted to have arrested and brought to Gitmo to be tried.
Yeah, Newt Gingrich has echoed that. Yeah. And, you know, you did say one thing about this trying to take over from the bottom up, and that's Bannonism. That's Steve Bannon is out there every day for a couple hours promoting this idea of organizing and takeover. And
that is how the people who lost the Civil War and had to give up slaves came back to power 30 years later. Massacre, riot, terrorism, and overthrowing elected government, and then running their own elections and making sure that others who opposed them didn't have the right to vote.
Look up what happened in Asheville, North Carolina.
And Wilmington, right?
Well, I'm sorry, it was Wilmington.
Yeah, Wilmington, right? Tulsa later, Oklahoma, yeah. It's the American way. It's apple, just as American as apple pie, lynching and terror. All right, that's it for this week.
This week, on the anniversary of D-Day, which went a long way to ending fascism in Europe, and now look where we're at.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.